We see it's already late, so we'll try to be Makatzar on the Parsha. But some of ours I think we need to mention. There's a very famous Vav from the Beis Halevi. It connects to last week's Parsha to this week's Parsha. Beis Halevi points out what is the connection between Parsha's Mishpatim and Parsha's Truma. Parsha's Mishpatim is, generally speaking, a Ben Adam L'Chaveru type of sugya. You know, I always say Parsha's Mishpatim is, you know, Yeshiva Bacha's delight. When he listens to Kriyas HaTorah, it should ring out into his ears all the drushes that the Gemara makes. You know, all these psukim are all drushes. These are all Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. Parts of Baba Metzia, maybe he didn't learn it, Reneshech and other parts. But, you know, this is a practical guide to Chayshim Mishpat. Then in this week's parsha, we come to Parsha's Truma. What's the connection? So the Beis Halevi says, very powerful idea. He says, because you, in order to give Truma, in order to start giving gifts and donations, you have to make sure whose money is whose. You have to first go through Parsha's Mishpatim, you learn what's money, what's mazik, what is your money, what's not your money, what can't you touch, what could you touch, and then you can give Truma Lashem, then you can be a big donor and give a lot of money. Others have added to this Beis Halevi that, you know, Torah and other great moistures can't be built on Kneva. Many people think they're Robin Hoods. They take from the rich, and they give to the poor, and they steal, and they do this, but it's going to yeshiva, it's going to a kollel, it's going to a shul. The Torah is telling us that's not the way we build things in Judaism. The Mishkan was not built like that. The Mishkan was not built with stolen money. As we see, we own but that stuff, we owned it already from Yitzchak Mitzrayim. But the lesson that the Torah is teaching us for future generations are if we want to build great things in Judaism, we have to first learn Parshas Mishpatim to make sure we're not taking anyone else's money. You know, every time people talk about this idea of, it's Gnevish money, but it's okay, it's going to a good cause. No, it's not okay. Money has to be kosher wherever it goes. And that's the connection between the two Parshas. The Alter from Slobodka pointed out that the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim should have started with Revi. If you read to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, so the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim discusses the Eved Ivri, which is probably the lowest member of society. Then we work our way up to the Mazik, and not much better. Then we finally, when we get to the Revi, we get to Kesef Talva Sami, we get to a nice situation where people are lending each other money, a good Ben Adam L'Chaver. So the Alta points out, why didn't the Torah start with that? Why is the first thing, Eila Mishpatim, what's the introduction? Mishpatim, the Eved Ivri, the low life of society, who gets sold because he has no money. Why is that the way the Torah opens up? So the Alta says it's because because the Torah wasn't written by Bas of Adam. If the Torah would have been written by me and you, that's where we would have wrote the Torah. However, points out the Alta, but Hashem is not like us. Hashem exactly goes the opposite. Hashem worries about his lowest members of society, the Eved Ivri, the one who is not viewed in the eyes of anyone as any level of importance. If I can't, for him, the Torah tries to figure out, okay, how long is he going to work, and when can we get him out, and when does he go free, and how do you treat him? So therefore, the Torah, B'davka, talks about the Eved Ivri, the lowest ranking member of society first, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about them as well. One of the schusim of going away for Shabbos is you get to hear from different people. My wife always says, you know, she's tired of cooking, she wants to have someone else's cooking. I've understood what it means, you want someone else's cooking. If your food is good, eat your food. So I understood it now. You know, sometimes you get sick of hearing your own shatloch and your own shtickle tell. You want to be exposed to other people. So I had this chutz to be in the Five Towns this week. I had a simcha that I had to be at. So I got to go and hear from Rabbi Feitman a little bit Shabbos morning. And it was a pleasure, and it was a chizuk just to see him, after all he's going through, just to see him get up there, be able to still knock out a drush. It was something very moving. But I got to hear from him, and he said over a beautiful pshat from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv asked, what's this whole idea of Avdus today? It's not a gay today. We don't celebrate Avdus today. Why did the Torah write a whole parsha? That's irrelevant today. What are we supposed to take out of it? And he mentioned in his writings many places that we know the Torah is not a storybook. It's not telling us, you know, what happened, or it's telling us how we should live. So what's the lesson from Eved Ivri? So he quoted from Rabbi Yashiv that the reason why they sell an Eved Ivri is because this guy stole. He did not have good Jewish values. You know what we do? We sell him to another Jewish home. And he stays there. And you know what's supposed to happen? He's supposed to pick up those values that he didn't get the first time around. We put him, hopefully, into a better home, where he gets exposed to a normal, healthy family. He sees how do people interact with each other, what do people do, how do people deal with money. And this is supposed to be his chinuch. It's not a punishment so much as it is a re-education of how to learn to be a good, active member of kosher society. That's the lesson of Eved Ivri. A very, very powerful lesson today, where we understand the difficulty in chinuch and raising our children today. It's not an easy job. But that's the whole idea. The whole idea is to teach him how to properly live. Because the first time around, he wasn't zeicher to understand it the right way. And therefore, he sold again to another Jewish home, and they treat him well. Again, it's the Gemara tells us, buying an Eved Ivri is a huge pain. It's not worth it. It's way easier to go Eved Kanani. It's much easier. You can treat him much easier. You get much more stuff out of him. But if you buy an Eved Ivri, it's a responsibility because you're going to be mechanechim. It's your job now to teach this fellow all the things he didn't learn the first time around. Rashi tells us that the whole idea of the Oizein, that the whole idea is that the Eved who didn't listen to Akili Avodah, he didn't listen to Leisignoiv, many kashas in that Rashi, everyone knows the kashas, we'll leave it at that. But what's the whole idea of listening? So he explained that the whole idea of listening is that's what an Eved is. An Eved doesn't ask so many questions. An Eved does what he's told. He listens. He's a Shemeya. He is a listener. He gets an order and he does it. That was the lesson that the Jewish people are learning now in the greater scheme of things, that we have to be avodim l'Hashem. We don't have to ask so many questions. We don't have to understand everything. We just listen. We're told we do it. The Eved, you don't exactly sit there and handle with him and ask him his advice. Do you think this is right? No. You tell the Eved to do it and he gets it done. That's the way B'nai Yisrael is supposed to learn to serve Hashem as Avadim. We're supposed to not ask so many questions. We're not supposed to have tainas. We're not supposed to think we understand things. Ki Avadim Heim. We're Avadim. We do what we're told. I heard many years ago, once or not. Yeah, I'm not gonna give his whole schmooze away, but many years ago I got to hear from the Menal in the South Israel Elementary School, Hertzberg. He said over a vote from one of the Ger Rebbes. He said someone came to one of the Ger Rebbes and they were all upset about the way life was going, things weren't going well. So the Ger Rebbe told him, one of the Ger Rebbes told him, have in mind when you say the words Anna Hashem, have a kavona and everything will work out. So he said, I did it didn't work. So he said, which Anna Hashem did you have in mind for? So he said, oh, stumble what we said today, Anna Hashem Ashiana. I ask Hashem to take care of me. So the Ger Rebbe told him, it's the wrong Anna Hashem. It's Anna Hashem Keni Avdecha. That's what he's supposed to have in mind. You're an Eved. That's it. That's your job. You're an Eved of Hashem. Don't ask so many questions. Don't try to understand everything. Do as you're told. He told him, if you have Kavana there, you'll be okay. That's the lesson of Avdus. The lesson of Avdus is that we should be like an Eved. We don't ask questions. We don't have rights. We don't think we understand things. We do as we're told. That's the lesson that the Jewish people learned prior to the second half of Kabbalah Satira. Prior to the Nasav and Ishma, Klai Yisrael learned this lesson that we have to understand. We're Avodim. It's not our job to understand, it's our job to do. You find a fascinating thing in the Pasuk later on. The Torah tells us that even if a Kohen is working in the Mizbeach, you have to take him away. You take away from the Kohen, from the work in the Beis HaMikdash. So many Mefarshim point out, you see over here a value in Jewish life that two wrongs don't make a right. If you did something wrong, you're wrong. That's it. You did it wrong. Ah, you're doing great work now in the Mizbeach. Okay, great. But two wrongs don't make a right. The fact that you sinned and you did something wrong, we have to take you away. You also find something powerful that the Torah is telling us that you can be a very important member of society. You can be very essential to the community. And you can be a great person. But if you did something wrong, we're going to have to remove you. No matter how great and important and tzairich the community, we have to remove you if you're not acting appropriately. In the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us about this. We know that there was a part of Kabbalah Satayra had a Kafa Aleim HaKigigis experience. That Klai Yisrael was forced to take the Torah. And if they didn't take the Torah, Shom Tehei Kivuraschem. So Taisvis asks, and many Rishonim ask, what do you mean? They already said Nasav and Ishma, who did he Kafa Aleim HaKigigis? We know the Gemara tells us that there was a new Kabbalah Satayra B'meach HaShverish. Hadu v'kiblu, they made a new Kabbalah in the times of Achashverosh. Kimu v'kiblu, so the Gemara says there was a new Kabbalah Satayra to fix the Kaf Aleim HaKigigas. So the question was, what was the new Kabbalah Satayra that took place at Purim? So Abchaim Shmulevitz, one of his Sichas Moser, explains that the level of Kabbalah Satayra on Purim was the highest level of Achdus. Klai Yisrael got together due to distress, due to the fact they were all going to be killed. That brought Klai Yisrael together. And once Klai Yisrael was together, then they were able to make a real Kabbalah Satayra. Because real Kabbalah Satayra is only mitoich, unbelievable level of Achdus. And the only way Klai Yisrael was able to get to that level of Achdus was by being oppressed. We spoke about this last week, that maybe there's other ways to connect to Klai Yisrael, but this is the idea of Chaim Shmulevitz. I think maybe we can explain it a little differently. There's a very famous song that everyone sings, Mishenichnas Adam Arben B'Simcha, a very popular song, you'll get sick of it by the time Purim is over, I guarantee you that much. But if you stopped any group who comes collecting, any yeshiva bachar, ask him the following question. Where is it brought down the halacha, the song, Mishenich Nesad, the Marab B'Simcha? It's a Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara brings it down, Davchav Tess, in Tainis. However, if you look in the Rishonim, it's not brought down the halacha. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, it's not in Rambam, it's not in Rif. None of them bring down this Gemara, Mishenich Nesad, the Marab B'Simcha. Every yeshiva guy knows it, but it's not brought down anywhere in the halacha. The earliest source is the Magen Avraham, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah brings it down. It's not brought down the day of the Rishonim. It's a very funny thing.
It's brought down by
Hilchos Tishah B'Av. It's brought down by Ma'it in Hilchos Tishah B'Av. It's not brought down Marbe by Adar. Right. So the Achronim
asks. It's Kemoshe Marbe, though, no?
I don't believe so. It doesn't bring down anywhere in Hilchos Purim. It's a funny thing. So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he asks his kasha. The Nemuki Arachayim, the Munkat Rebbe in his Sefer and Hilchos in Arachayim, he times because how do you define Marbe B'Simcha? What are you supposed to do? Smile more, be happier? There's no clear-cut definition of how to do it. B'Shlomah B'Simcha, we know what you're supposed to do. You can't have this and you can't have that. So that's why Shulchan Aruch brings it down. But Marbe B'Simcha, what are you supposed to smile more, be friendlier? How do you do that? So it's a Pella on the Munkat Rebbe because the Gemara continues. The Gemara tells you what you're supposed to do. The Gemara says, Hilkach, Ha Yisrael Disle Dina, someone who has a court case with a Jew, have it in others. So let Rambam at least write that. So that's some Sefer has a Shtickle Torah to answer up this kashya. I think the answer is Pashat. That once Klai Yisrael understood what the story of Purim was about, what does it mean when we tap into the idea of Purim, You don't need to be told to be besimcha. Purim, the story of Purim was basically a holocaust. Every single Jewish person was going to be killed. And when we tap into that realization and we remind ourselves, what does that mean? Can you imagine a world today if we all be killed? Would someone have to tell us when we're saved to be happy? Let's push it. You should want to automatically be besimcha. Someone should have to tell you that? You need the Rishonim to write it down? He's supposed to be happy? It's pashut. A person who went through such an experience and we feel it, it's an automatic feeling of feeling good. But it's more than that. Klal Yisrael learned, what does it mean to be alive? Good, we got our physical life back. So what does it mean to be alive? What's life? Life means we get to, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're alive, we get to keep on working for 20 more years. Is that what it's about? The Klal Yisrael learned is about Kiyum HaTorah. That's why if you look at Purim, it's a funny Yom Tov. The mitzvah Sayyim are such a funny mitzvah Sayyim. Give gifts to the poor and give Shalach Manis. What's these mitzvah Sayyim? The answer is because we're showing us this is what life is all about. Life is about giving to others and helping those in need. That's what we're alive to do. And that's why Klal Yisrael made Nuka Baal HaTorah. How do Kiblu made Nuka Baal HaTorah now when they realize, wow. You know, sometimes you need to be put into a threatening situation to appreciate what you have. So Klal Yisrael was in that situation where they realized, what does it mean to die? And what does it mean to be alive? What does life mean? Life is Kihem Chayim. This is what it's about. So when they made this new Kabbalah Satayr, it was mitoich realization of what does it mean to be alive? What is the gift of life that we're given every single day, hopefully for many, many years, is what to do what with? Is it just to live our own life and to be self-absorbed and to enjoy? Or is it about to give to others? It's about Likman HaTorah. It's about Chesed. So that was the Kiblu Bimei HaPurim. That's why Klai Yisrael needed a new Kabbalah Satayr to understand what life is all about. And Mimeil, that's why the Mitzvahim are reflective of that. That's why Purim is such a special day to learn Torah. It's one of those days that no one learns. It's a problem. It's one of the very special days to learn Torah. One reason because no one's learning, but the other reason is because this hadar v'kiblu, this new kabbalah satayr of realizing this is what life is all about. This is why we wake up in the morning. This is why we live, and that's why Klal Yisrael made a new kabbalah satayr b'mei achashverosh. Mitzvah next Sunday, I believe, we'll be continuing our minhag here that we'll try to be discussing in Yonei D'Yoma. We'll try to have a shiur on in Yonei Negei to Purim and Lamdas. Then the next Sunday, I believe, will be Purim. We won't be learning Torah. Take it or leave it. Okay? And I think the following Sunday I have a chasana in Baltimore for a cousin and a Talmud. And whenever you say two things, I'm always asked, why do you need both? So here I talk, I need both. If it only be one without the other, I'm not sure I would have went. But now that it's a Talmud and a cousin, I don't have a choice. So I have to go to Baltimore, so I will have to miss as well the Sunday following Purim. So everyone gets a little vacation from me. I guess you can sleep late or something. Your wives will be happy to have you around the house, I'm sure. But if they ask, I'll tell them their issue, so don't worry about it. I'll cover for you guys. Okay. In any case, we left off over here in the Gemara. My plan is to finish this Shtikl Gemara, which takes us up to a new Mishnah, which is really a new Sugya, which we'll cover Bli Neder after Purim. Okay, so let's get back into the Gemara over here. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if you throw a get into a lady's chekoy or l'teich kalosa, you throw it into her lap, or you throw it into her basket, or her sewing basket, to be more specific. So the halacha is megureshes, which means, again, her basket is sitting in the husband's rishos, it's sitting on the floor of the husband's back chatzar, the husband's house, and the husband throws the get into her, we'll call it today a purse, make life easier. So basically her purse is sitting on the husband's floor in his house. He throws the get into the purse. So the Gemara says megureshes. In fact, the Gemara, am I why? Kalev shalai keyach brishos meichu. Why exactly are they divorced? This is an example of what we talked about last week. It's the kalem of the lekeach, right? The woman is the purchaser. She wants to be purchasing this get. The husband is the one who's selling the get. And is her kalem are in his rishos. We mentioned it's machlekes amirayim and baba baswa if it works. So frak the Gemara, how does it work over here? It should be a problem of kalem shalakeach brishos meichu. If you noticed, or if you remember from last week, the Gemara asked it a little differently. The Gemara asked, Shema minal, bring you a raya, Kalev shalakech. And here the Gemara asks it as a kasha. So they're trying to point that it's pasha. This is a Mishnah. If it's a Mishnah in Gittin that says, you can throw a get into a lady's basket, and it creates gerushin, so that's a raya, the Kalev shalakech, which is my first kaina. Last week we were talking about Rava. Rava made up his own chiddush, so Rava was an amira. So from Rava, it's not a kasha, but from Rava you could say, Shema minal, we have a raya. But now we have a Mishnah in Gittin that's mefurish, that it works. So now the Gemara has a different kasha, that it's a kasha, not just a raya. So enfer the Gemara, the Gemara makes an akimta that the bag was hanging on her. It was like a purse that you hang on your body. It was hanging on her. It wasn't sitting on the ground. It wasn't on the floor of the husband's backyard. Instead, the bag was hanging on her, and the husband has threw the get while it was the bag was on her body. The bag was hanging on her. So the question is, so what? Why does that make things any better or worse? Why does that change the equation? At the end of the day, this whole possession is the husband's. This house is the husband's. The ear space is the husband's. The whole area is the husband's. So why does it help to say that now the bag is not on the floor, instead the bag is on her? Why does that change the halachic status of creating chalais gerushin?
What's Gemara's Hava mean? It should be like a Yad.
Okay. That's the way some Rishonim learn it. We'll see in a second. Some Rishonim learn it. It's like Yad. The same way if I put the Yad directly into her hand in his Rishos, it doesn't matter. So this is like her Yad. So if you look at number two, well, Blined will come back to the Gemara. Yeah, maybe we'll finish reading the Gemara just to say we read the whole Gemara if anyone asks. So the Gemara goes right to the Gemara says, it's funny, no one ever asks, but okay. That was the way Belaza learned the Gemara, Aisha learned the Gemara, that the bag was wrapped around her body. Shimon ben Lakisha Amara, different the Chiddush, Kshura, the bag is tied to her, Alpha Pisha ain't a Tuya, even though it's not hanging, but it's tied to her. We're making the kimta that the bag was between her legs. So even though the bag was on the floor, but since it was between her legs, for some reason that makes things better. We're talking about a case where the husband sold bags. So he didn't really mind bags on the floor. His whole house was full of bags. So this didn't bother him. That's the pashut, the way of learning the Gemara, I think.
What does that mean?
So he didn't mind. He was mashal her the makam. He didn't care. Most husbands say, I want my area clean. I don't want anything on the floor. This guy says, I don't care. I got bags. The whole floor is full of bags. So therefore, I don't mind. Okay. Billy Nader will deal with each issue as it comes along. So let's deal with the first case of the Gemara. The first answer to the Gemara was, Kain Shaysa Kalsa Tuluyaba. It was hanging on her. So the question is, so what? So if you look at number two in the Ritva, Ritva writes like this, the Kivan Shehit Tuluyaba, since the bag was hanging on her body, Loi Choshev De Lahave Berushas Meich. It's not considered as if the bag is now Berushas Meich. So it's not clear to me exactly what the Ritva means. Many learn the Ritva, like many of you suggested, that it's like Yad. The same way if the Isha takes out her hand and he puts the hand into her, he puts the get into her hand while it's in his house, no one's going to say, oh, it's Caleb Shalakech Rishas Meicha. How can you make a Gevishim? Because since her hand is her Caleb and her Caleb and his Rishos, it ruins it. No one's going to say that because that's Kinyat. Right, that's going to be the Shaila. The question is, that's really what Tulsa is. That's really what it is. It's an extension of her, on her body, or close to her body, and we're going to have to try to figure out what type of status does it have. So the Mashmois of the Ritva sounds like the point so much isn't that it's Yada, it's not so much that we view the bag as of her hand, it's just that we don't view that it's now his possession. That the reason is that since this bag is hanging on her, Loi Choshev, it's not considered the Lahave B'Shas Meicha. Why not? Why is it not in the B'Shas Meicha? So some people want to learn because it's like Yad. That's the point. The point is that the way you view the bag hanging on her as if it would be in her hand. And just like her hand doesn't share Rishos Meicha, this doesn't either.
Dalai Lama's.
Dalai Lama's.
That's separate than
Yad. Yeah, but Dalai Lama she wouldn't have in his Rishos. Sure. She'd only have Rishos Rabbah. Well, Linda, we'll get to it. That's the next Mishnah. We're going to get into Dalai Lama's heavily, I hope. Taisus and Ksubis, I didn't put it down, but Taisus and Ksubis is more meforish that Taisus understood like that, Lomdis, that when you put it on her, that's as if you put it into her hand. And when you put it into her hand, there's no conscience of what about if it's in the husband's possession. Again, I don't think this Ritva is 100% klar like that. It sounds like that. But the Ritva is really focusing on the point that it's not Berushas Meicha. That we don't look at this, when we look at the get, we say, where's the get? The get's in the bag. Where's the bag? So we don't think the bag is in his Rishos. The bag, well, even though technically the bag is in his Rishos, it's in his house. But since it's on her, and so is she, but since the bag is on her body, and her body is her own independent Rishos, so we don't look at it as if the get would be in the husband's Rishos.
These are all terutzim in the world of Caleb Shalokach.
This is to answer up why it's not a kasher.
We're accepting that's what this
that's,
is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
These are all things that would be in a Mekach Mem
correct.
Situation.
Correct.
Also, they would all
correct.
Solve that problem.
Correct.
But let's
correct.
Say,
yeah.
Let's say she was in a supermarket. Right. So they put in her bag as a tasher. We'd say now that's not
Knave.
That's not Rishos Volker.
What do you mean?
You pay for it. Takes an apple, puts it in her purse.
Oh, we say that's Gneva.
Exactly.
Right.
So then why for Gershon is that good, but for Megachomepo?
All right, I think that's the answer. The question is why. I don't disagree with the outcome. The outcome is true. The question is why. What about a bag being attached to you makes it that this problem of Kedushik is not a problem? So the Ritva sounds like he's saying the reason why it's not a problem is because this is not really deep Rishos Meicha. Rishos Meicha means if I put it on the ground of the Meicha, if I were to hang it from the Meicha's wall, that would be Rishos Meicha. But this is my Rishos. Like my Yad. My Yad is my Rishos, and anything that's my Rishos is not a problem.
The difference is that he wants it to be in her, given to her.
No, because that's the whole question. That was one way of answering the kasha.
The difference between that and the supermarket.
Not necessarily. If you learn that the problem of Caleb Shalakech Bashis Meicha is not so much I want, it's intrinsically that this is my area and this is your area, so that it doesn't work even if I want to. The Gemara answered, like you said, the Gemara said, we learned this last week, the Gemara said, oh, when he gives him Rishos to do it. But the question is, the Gemara is not assuming that we have to come on to that. The Gemara is trying to fix that even without that chap of giving Rishos.
We're assuming Rishos and the ownership of the bag are the same thing. The ownership of the bag is
without doubt hers. There's no question. It's hers. It's her bag. She owns the bag. The problem is for kinyonim, it's not might not be sufficient for her to own the bag. It has to be the location of the bag. That's where it gets a little complicated. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershom of Baba Basra, Rabbeinu Gershom of Baba Basra seemingly went a whole different route. Rabbeinu Gershom of Baba Basra writes in number 3, he says, "Shahoisa kolso tuliyaba." The bag was hanging on her. Says the Rabbeinu Gershom bitzavara. The bag was hanging on her neck. I don't know why it's been on her neck, not on her shoulder. Dehave hagba'a. It was a maisa hagba'a. So Rabbeinu Gershom seems to be saying, you're right. It's not the pshat so much that it's yod, it's not yad. It's kinyan hagba'a. If I walk into your house and I want to be kinyan kinyan hagba'a, I'm allowed to do it b'shos ma'icher. I pick it up, now we're good to go. So says Rabbeinu Gershom, that's what happened over here. You put the get on her body. So the get, even though it might not have been done up purposely, but at the end of the day, the get was lifted 3 tefachim high. Which we'll see in a second is the akash that they have in this pshat. Okay, we'll get to it.
How did she lift it? It was just hanging out.
Okay, well, that's the akash that the friend have. The simple way of saying it is there might it's automatically lifted up because if you put something that's higher up off the ground,
don't you have to do a maisak?
Or you have to either do a maisak, or the chavis needs to be nigba. The chavis needs to be lifted up, and here we'll talk about that.
Why is it different than the mita? We're gonna get to it.
Right, it's a different kinyan. Because Hagbah kinyan has a different kinyan.
You see, this is not
yet. Right, this is not yet. That's the kind. The Rashbam holds.
Yes.
Rabbeinu Gershom is going a whole different route. Rabbeinu Gershom is saying it's not because it's not Rishas Meicher or because it's Yad. It's a third kinyan. There's a new kinyan called Kinyan Hagbah, which exists in the Cholotari Kula. And when you put the get into her bag, which is off her body, which is off the ground, so basically what happens is she lifted the get up. So you have Kinyan Hagbah on the get, so then you don't have any kashas. That's what seems to be from Rabbeinu Gershom. If you look in the Rashbam in Baba Basra, number 4, I think he's somewhere in between those two shitas. If you look in the Rashbam Baba Basra, he writes like this, Tuyaba, that gets hanging on her. Ve'ene nigreres bekarka. It's not dragging on the ground, because what would the problem if it's dragging on the ground? Then you run to Rishus Moicha Bekech, right? That's the problem. So after Rashbam, ulukach koina loy kolosa, and the reason why her bag is koina, didomi lahagba. It's comparable to hagba. Note the difference between the way Rabbeinu Gershom says it and the way the Rashbam says it. In the Rabbeinu Gershom, I think it's clear. It's Hagbah. Go home, it's Hagbah. Nothing to talk about. In the Rashbam, I think there's a little bit more wiggle room where he throws in one very important word, the dummy Hagbah. It's comparable to Hagbah. You know, is it or is it not Hagbah? Right? It's Hagbah. Call it Hagbah. Call it Hagbah. Don't say it's similar to Hagbah. But the assumption is many Achrenim, we'll see others, maybe not, but most Achrenim think that this Rashbam is the same thing as Rabbeinu Gershom. It's working out Kinyan Hagbah. So when you put the get into her bag, somehow the get was lifted. And since the get was lifted, you have Kinyan Hagbah. Okay, we'll see all the...
That's a valid
we're going to see all the various problems with this in a second, but that's at least the two major shitas we're showing. So we have either Ritzvah that's working with Yad or not Rishus Meicher, or the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom that's working with Kinyan Hagbah. Now, if you look in the Torah's Gittin has a Hakira, which we spoke a lot about, but it's kedai to see how he sets it up. Number 5, the Torah's Gittin writes this. Hine yesh la'ayin. Imoyol shar kinyonim beget. Can you use other kinyonim by get? Kigayin mishicha. That's how the Isha wants to be moishich the get. You don't put the get into her hand again. You obviously will have kligitech problems, how this will work out. Because if the get's on the table, and then the Isha drags the get, so there'll be issues of why is it not kligitech megabakak. Okay, he tells you where to look to bypass that problem. But let's say the Isha, instead of putting the get into her hand, the Isha would take the get and pull it. So we know there's a kinyan called the kinyan mishich, and moishich l'rishusoy. The Isha would do that with the get. Would that work? Oy, our other favorite kinyan, oy kinyan agav. Right? We talked about that a lot. Oy kinyan sudr. Let's say you use chalipin. Yeah, that's part of that. The underlying theme of the Shaila over here is, do other kinyanim work, if you need kinyanim, do they work for kinyan get, or only yidavka need to use yad? So he wants to know, does mishicha work, does agav work, does kinyan sudda work, kimet shekinyan b'matatl, and all those things work to buy regular things. Or maybe you need davka yoda, it says in the Torah, v'nasim b'yoda, and these are not v'nasim b'yoda. This is, to us, not a new Shaila. We spoke about this heavily. I think we were told this in Machloikis Rishayim, Machloikis Hamaroyim, Machloikis Tanoim, Pistam Machloikis Moish and Aaron. We went back a long time already with this Shaila. But the question is, can you use all the kinyanim? So he writes like this. The nearer the Shah kinyanim shalayin is rabu miyad ene moyo baget. Any kinyan that's not a derivative of yad, that's not learned out from the concept of yad, but learned out from another area in halacha, that doesn't work. So he says, okay. What happens if you have things like hagba or mishicha? You didn't use your hand. Let's say the isha lifted up the get, not using her hand. She used her body. She kicked it. She kicked it up with her foot. Right? She's a soccer player. They wrapped the get around the soccer ball. She kicks the soccer ball up into the sky. So she did hagbah on the get. So now there's no yad. Maybe there's regal, but there's no yad. What happens then? Oy, shemashcha oisin agabe karka. Let's say she pulls the get. But oifin, do I have it till gita me agabe karka? In a way it won't be. Yesh la'ayini mahani. Then says the terrorist getting, then I'm not sure if it's going to work. I understand kinyon sada doesn't work, kinyon aga doesn't work. Those are outside kinyon. But what about a situation where you have a kinyon that's really working through a hand, but not als kinyon yat? You need your hands or your body to make this happen, but the kinyon is not yet. So he writes, Yesh l'ayni mahani, kivin the kosvach mona biyodo. Maish the Torah writes the word hand, it needs to be your hand. Lafinis daiti de meshicha v'hagbo moyo baget. So the Torah is getting, he thinks it works. Meshicha works, hagbo works, all these good things work. That's called yad. Using your hand in various ways is also called the kinyan of kinyan yad. Okay? So he wants to kvetch it into the pasuk of yad. Now the truth is, he writes at the end, he says, I don't need to come to any fancy shtukot Torah. It's a mefurish Rashbam and Baba Basra. Rashbam and Baba Basra says that the way kalsa works is hagbah. What do you mean? Who says hagbah works for gerushin? Teretz says, the Teretz again, I see from this Rashbam, this Rabbeinu Gershom, that they want to learn that the way the get works over here is through kinyan of Hagbah. So you see that Hagbah works for Gershom, even though it's not B'yodei Mamash. Again, the get never touched her hand. The get touched her body. It's in her bag. The get never touched her yodei. So according to the Ritzvah, he'll tell you, that's her yad. Her bag is her yad, so the get really went B'yodei. These Rishonim will say, no, it's not. The get never touched her yad. But you don't need the get to be in her yad. You need the get to be niknet to her. How do you make that happen? You figure it out. So you can either do it through Hagbah, or through Mashiach, or through Kinyan Chatzar, but you need to make it her yad. You need to make it Ki'ilu it's B'yodei. So the Torah is getting said, you have arrived from this Rashbam, that other kinyanim, at least Hagbah, maybe Meshicha, those would work for Gerushin, even though it's not Biyada.
You have all these Gemaras that we're talking about, Chatzar, Agav.
Chatzar we know works, Chatzar is Drush. Agav was Machalik Shemeshainim. Right, that wasn't a Mephorsh, that was depending on how you learned the Gemara, was whether or not Agav was Kinyan.
But you see from any of the clear of the Gemara that you don't need Yad Mamish Yad. Yad doesn't mean literally Yad.
Again, so he grabbed, assumed, he knocked off Kinyan Agav. He assumed Agav doesn't work. If you look in the footnotes, they write Ayin Rashi. Right? We know what Rashi told us, that Rashi holds Kinyan Agav does work for Gerushin. He assumed right away that those Kinyan that are outside Kinyan that don't work with your Yad, for sure don't work. His only Shiloh was a Kinyan like Hagbah and Meshicha, which are somewhat related to the Yad, they're somewhat connected to your hand, more than, let's say, Kinyan Sudr, right? If you give a handkerchief, and the exchange of the handkerchief creates Chalais Gerushin, that has nothing to do with Yad. So that, he knocked that right off the bat. The Shiloh he only had is when you have a Kinyan like Hagbah or Meshicha, where you are using, it's coming off of hand. The reason why Hagbah works is because you lifted it up. What happens when I didn't lift it up, my body lifted it up, or I caused it to be lifted up, that's when he first has the Shiloh. And then he says, I've arrived from the Rashbam.
So this whole discussion throughout the window.
Correct.
We don't need Kinyan. We're just trying to define
Yad. Yeah, we're going to get to that in 2 seconds, hopefully. We'll see about that. He then goes on, the Torah is getting, and he writes, even though I just proved to you what I proved to you from the Rashbam, Omdam divi Rashbam tmumli. I don't understand this Rashbam. Why? The habikshura afa pishena tluya. Frek the Rashbam, what do you do with the next shtickle Gemara? The Gemara talks about a case where it gets tluya ba, and the Gemara talks about a case of kishura, where it gets tied, but it's not hanging. Now, what does it mean it's tied, but it's not hanging? It means it's on her foot, tied to her body, but it's on the ground. It's sitting on the rishus of the moichet. So he says, in that case, how's it going to work? He says, lab mitam hagbah, it can't be hagbah. There's no lifting. The get is sitting on the... Again, imagine that her bag is wrapped around her ankle. It's tied to her ankle, and the bag is sitting on the floor. So where's hagbah? Yeah, okay. Yeah, she'd have to do that, Lefiza. She'd have to make it a kippah that she lifted it up. Here the Gemara sounds like it's automatic. Yeah, I'm not saying you can't answer the Gemara that will make it a kippah that she lifted her foot, and that would be the Ma'isa Hagbah. But the Torah is getting things that the lumnuses of the Gemara follow each other. That Kalsa Tluyaba works the same way Kshura works. Even though if you look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, he says not like that. If you go back to number 3, look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, gets out of this problem. He writes Tluyaba is Hagbah. How does Kshura work? He goes back to the Ritva. He says, hey, Nachnam, you split the two Gemaras. In the case of Tluyo, when the get is hanging on her body, then it's Taka Hagba. However, he says, when the get is attached to her, but not off the ground, so then you come back to saying it's like part of her body. So he splits the Gemara into two different pshatim. The Torah's Gittin's kasha was that the Gemara has to be the same lumdus. Says the Rabbeinu Gershom, no, it doesn't have to be the same lumdus. I'll answer that one case works with one lumdus and one works with a different lumdus. Why the Torah's Gittin didn't want to learn that, I'm not sure. But clearly, Rabbeinu.
Obviously, there could be different lumdus.
Right, there are different answers. There could be different nekimtas. For some reason, it's not clear to me why the Torah's Gittin felt that they have to be working the same way. Mameli has a kasha. Because in the case of Tluya, that could work with Hagbah, because again, the bag is hanging on her body, the bag is up, off the ground. But in the case of Kshura, the bag is tied to her leg, but it's on the floor. Where's the Kenyan Hagbah? So the Rabbeinu Geshem, he got around this problem. He said, Echnami, that's not Al Hagbah. That would be working Al Gufay. The only kasha then is, so why didn't he learn like that in the first Pshat in the Gemara? If Rabbeinu Geshem is willing to learn a Pshat in the Gemara, there's a concept called when it's attached to your body, it becomes like your body, so learn that in the first case of the Gemara. Learn that by Tluya. Learn that when the bag was hanging on you, why do you have to come up with a fancy loan? This is a Hagbah.
He wants to be differentiated between the two.
Yeah, but again, if you're willing to accept a lumnus that when a bag is hanging on you, it's considered part of your body, the same way, unless they'll tell you that hanging and attached.
Why do you have to say l'socheka then, and that? You know, you already said l'socheka, right. So what's the difference?
Because then
that's why the Torah's
then it's just like two different
kimtas
in the same
longness.
It's more again, nice to make two different.
No, but they're being mazbe the Gemara. The Mishnah right. Says l'toich kolosa. We're trying to figure out where is the kolosa. So the first answer to the Gemara was the bag was on her body. It was tluya, it was hanging on her, and it wasn't attached to her. Second answer to the Gemara was it was attached to her, but not hanging. So, in fact, the Torah is getting, they have to be working with the same lumdus. So we're asking, why do they have to be working with the same lumdus?
Kind of limit the machlokus as much as
possible. No, but my kash is on Rabbeinu Geshem. Rabbeinu Geshem learns that Tluya works al Hagbah, and Kshua works because it's part of your body. So my question is, if he's willing to accept the notion that things that are attached to your body become part of your body, why didn't he learn that way by Tluya?
Yeah, it's the opposite, because Rabbeinu Geshem doesn't want to limit the machlokus. He wants to make it a lumdus machlokus. He doesn't want to just say it's two different examples of the same.
I hear what you're saying.
He wants to make that there was a real machlokus.
I gotcha.
Why didn't he say this? Why did he make
I hear. Okay, gotcha now.
It was on
he's
the
saying
back,
that there's.
It was on this. It's all. Silly.
It's just that what? It's just that once you know this, you saw it. Just.
Yeah, so.
I was thinking maybe.
Were a fundamental machlokus between them.
Maybe I'd rather work through a real
kinyan. Could be.
When there's no choice. And,
right. Yeah. I was just thinking maybe you could tell me some lumdus that Tluya is a lower level than Kshura. Maybe when something's attached to you, that's more mechubah to your body as opposed to just hanging there. It's hanging, but it can be removed easily. Something which is tied. Tied is a much stronger lever of ischabrus. It connects you much. Maybe, I don't think it's true. I think if someone would look at a purse that's hanging on you and say, yeah, that's attached to you. I think that's a doichik. But it bothered me.
You say there's a difference between a purse and a bracelet? You know what I'm
saying? I wonder. I think there's something different between something which is tied to you, right? What's his loshonis? His loshon is, kibud the mechabra bay, it's attached. Kigufoy, it's like your body. Yeah, I don't know. I think you could debate it.
In Shabbos, we have a difference between C-Day and C-Day.
Right.
And the C-Day is when it's attached, Kshura, and C-Day is when it's attached to something
hanging. Right, I would have made such an argument. I think maybe that's the difference. But that's the way he learns it. So the Torah's Gittin ends up learning, not like the Rashbam, the Torah's Gittin ends up learning that Pshat and both Gemaras are just basically the husband lets her put it there. They came to the Gemara. The husband lets her use chatzar. The husband says, you can put your bag here, you can put your bag here, you can put bag wherever you want. And therefore it's working. He then goes on to say a very important yisoid for our sugya, or maybe with Chalatar Kul. He writes this. Says the Torah's Gittin, even if the Rashbam is right, that there's a kinyan called kinyan hagbah, it's limited. It's not working the same way kinyan yad works. And he says that the only time you can use kinyan hagbah is kishmigarish meritzoinoi. If she's willing to get divorced, she wants to get divorced, then if you put the get into a kalosa that she's hanging onto her body, it's lifted off the ground, it's good to go. However, he says, if you force her to do any one of these ma'isa kinyonim, that's not working directly through kinyan yad, let's say he tied the get, he forced her to walk, so when she walks, she drags the get. That's a case of mishicha. Or he forces her to lift the get up with her body, which makes a kinyan hagbah. The ain haget biyada, but it's never going through yad. So the Torah is getting a very big chiddush, which for us shouldn't be such a chiddush. We already saw this in the name of Reb Chaim, and we saw this in Mishayim, that even if you're willing to accept the notion that there are other kinyanim, those other kinyanim only work when there's consent. Because they're regular kinyanim, and regular kinyanim the Torah has rules for. Regular kinyanim always need to have consent from both parties. This new chiddush called kinyan get, which works by karcha, that's only when you follow exactly the Torah's line of yach. That's the way Reb Chaim answered up. We use this to answer up Stiras and Rashis and other Rishonim. That even if you're willing to accept the notion that there's two types of ways of making Gerushin, there's Kinyan Yad and other Kinyanim, but Kinyan Yad works by Karchai. All those other Kinyanim only work when the Isha is willing to have it work. Because why? Those Kinyanim are what we call regular Kinyanim. Regular Kinyanim have rules to them. One of the rules are you have to consent. However, Kinyan Yad de Gerushin is a new type of Kinyan. It's such a new type of Kinyan that the Ksais doesn't even think it's a Kinyan in the first place. But if you accept that it's a Kinyan that's so mechudash, it's so new, that it can work even by Karcha, but it only works by an Isha, by Karcha. All the Kinyanim wouldn't work that way. But he says it a little differently. He says, Umitam Acher, the Chola Kinyanim be'inan shib kavonas a Kinyan. Every Kinyan needs to have what's called kavonah. Let's say a guy works in the cave. Let's say someone knows that his next door neighbor is a ger, and he dies without any children. So now it's free property. So the moment the guy dies, he's sitting there working the field. But he's working the field like an owner would, but he's a field off. You know, he started drinking early, right? He's a field off on the fields, and he's working the field with thinking, but it's not his. He thinks it's his. It's not the ger's. Now someone tells him, oh, you just worked the last hour on the next ger. So he says, Givaldik. So now I'm cutting the Nechse Ager. I did a Maisi Kinyan on Nechse Ager. I own it. Says the Tarzgit, no, you don't, because you didn't have any Kavanah for Kinyan. We know in order to do a Maisi Kinyan, you have to do a Maisi Kinyan with Kavanah Liknois. This guy lacked Kavanah Liknois. He says, let's say a guy lifts something up. A guy lifts up tables for fun. And the Agav, he wants to buy the table. So he lifts up the table to see, can he lift it? He lifts the table all up to the sky, very high. And he says, oh, Givaldik, now I can be kainet. They say, no, you can't. You didn't have kavana to do this Maisa Kinyan. So he says also, kavana. You need to have kavana. Kavana sa kinyan. He says a little different than we said. We said the pshat is not so much kavana, but you have to have das. He's saying it slightly different. He's saying that every Kenyan needs kavana. So when the Isha picks up a get that she doesn't want to pick up, she lacks kavana. She doesn't have the want to be Kenyan. She doesn't want to be Kenyan because she doesn't want to get divorced. So instead of we'll call it the das or the hisratzos, he calls it the kavana. Okay, it could be they're really saying the same thing. But he says, however, when it comes to Kenyan Yad doesn't work that way. Kenyan Yad, you don't need kavana, you don't need das, you don't need hisratzos. Kenyan Yad is a magical Kenyan. It happens automatically without it. No, it's a derivative of Kinyan Yad, so it's at least included in the pasuk, but it's still working differently than Kinyan Yad. Now, the way we said it, it works differently because at the end of the day, it's not the Chiddush Hakra where the Torah opened up this parasha called Bakorcha. It's working similar to Yad. It's not like Kinyan Suda, that's totally a whole new Sug Lomdus. We'll call it in the family of Yad, but it's not exactly working like Yad, and therefore he's willing to split the two and say one works Bakorcha while one doesn't work Bakorcha. The stipler, number six, he thinks that there's no riot from this Rashbam whatsoever that you're allowed to use Kinyan Hagbah to be Kain and Isha. Now, why not? To be Kain Eget. So the Rashbam, so the stipler, the same Lomdus is found in the Imri Moshe as well. He says like this, I don't think there's any riot from this Rashbam that you're allowed to use Kinyan Hagbah to be Kain Eget. Now, we would have said that's you can't get more clear than that. That's, okay, the Rashbam, you could debate it, but Rabbeinu Gershom, for sure there's a riot. He says no. He says, because if you think about it, the bag is definitely the Isha's bag, without a doubt. Now, the problem is she might not be able to use her bag to be Kaina because of the environment where the bag is. But the bag is definitely her Rishas. So points out the stipler, the get's in her hand. The bag is in her Rishas. The shaper Kriina may be Nasan Biyada. And that's the fulfillment of a Nasan Biyada. Which, according to the Tzais, might be all you need, is just put the get into her possession and go home. However, says the stipler, we hold that there's a second step that needs to be done. You need to make it in her rishos, but she also has to own it. You can't just put it in her rishos and say, well, that's sufficient, even though that's what the Tzais would tell you. Says the stipler, you need to do more than that. Because if not, it's like the Gemara in the second parak that says, I gave the Isha the paper, and I said, here's the get, but I want to hold on the paper. So I made a Nesina, why doesn't it work? So we know the answer, because that's not called a Nesina. The type himself writes this later on, that if I give you something, and I say, well, give me back the paper, so it's not the pshat that you're not clearing the paper. I never gave you the paper. It's not a chasaron in the kinyan, it's a chasaron in the Nesina. What did I give you? If I gave you something and I asked for it back, I never gave you anything. But nonetheless, the stipler thinks that in our Gemara, when you put the get into her bag, that was called putting the get into her rishos. So why doesn't the get work? Just because it's in her rishos? Because she still needs to be kainit. Zog the stipler about how kasav a Rashbam, the kivin shutluyo, having nami hagbov ikka kniyas haniyor. So he learns that the kinyan hakbar in our Gemara wasn't what makes the chalais gerushin. It was the second part of what was necessary. The first part was the get has to be in her rishus. Without putting into her rishus, you cannot make a chalais gerushin. So how does the hakbar over here work? The hakbar makes that the nesina l'rishusai now has a kinyan attached to it. In a case where you would just do kinyan, says the stipend, that wouldn't work. A kinyan l'chudei, a maisa kinyan without a nesina l'rishusai would not work for gerushin. So why does it work in Argumar? Because in Argumar you had a Nesina L'Rishusa. You put the get into her basket. That was Venosan Biyoda. The problem was you don't have the Kenyan. So now the Hagbah is the Kenyan. You put the two together. You have a Nesina and a Kenyan. You have a Chalis Gerishin. However, says the disciple, if you have a case where it would just be Kenyan, just Hagbah without a Venosan Biyoda, even the Rashbam will tell you it doesn't work.
Couldn't you be Mechalik between the case where the husband gives a get and says, I want the paper back, versus this
yeah.
case? Because here the husband is expressing... That's really lacking
the scene. Right? Yeah, 100%.
Here, so it just happens to be the basket's not the right
Yeah, place. I agree. The stipend is right. To me, it's a funny right from the case of New York Shilly, which we spoke about a lot. That's not a good comparison, a good comparable case. But the Lomnus is very geschmack of what the stipend is telling us. The stipend is saying that even the Rashbam, who learned in Agimar that it works as Hagbah, it's not just Hagbah. It's because you also first had an Asina L'Rishusa. Because the Rashbam held, if you just have a Maisa Kinyan without an Asina, that doesn't work. You need to have both.
I saw. The answer question to this Gemara is it in the harishus since
no.
the environment is a
no no so he's splitting it. He's saying it could be her rishus without the ability to be kaina. Normally my rishus allows me to be kaina. He's splitting it too. He's saying it's your rishus, but you don't have the ability to be kaina.
So
via
rishus mocha doesn't mean rishus. It means in an environment where it doesn't allow you to make a kinyan.
Exactly.
He's
exactly.
rereading the word rishus. He, doesn't yeah. really mean it's not in his rishus.
Well, he's saying
it's my rishus, but it just means it's my rishus and a rishus of
again,
mine that I can't make.
No one's going to deny the fact that this bag is yours. If this Isha's bag would get ripped up in the rishus of the husband, if either you'd have to
I
pay.
I would deny it. If I hold the halacha, kael shel lekach rishus arav mocha is not my rishus. Then that's what the gemara
means. It's not my bag.
Logically, I would have thought so, but I now
again,
learned a gemara or a mission that told me no. You
the
were
the
wrong.
Problem is, it's still
you thought it was my rishus.
It's still the Isha's bag. Again, if someone
it's my bag,
if a dog were to walk in and rip up the bag, if either the
but
money
that's
would
what
be.
The mission's telling me it's not my.
No, the mission's telling me that it's not your rishus to create
kinyanim.
Right, you can't make kinyanim with it. But it's my bag, you can't deny it. The fact is, being my bag doesn't mean I can be kainah with it. There's two. We're splitting the two. I think it's a fundamental, you said, we're splitting the ability to be kainah with your rishos for it being intrinsically your rishos. Now you'll ask me, what difference does it make? Well, it's negate to our sukkah. Because you need a vinasa bi yado, you need an asinah l'rishusa, but it doesn't have the ability to be kainah through it. That's why you need the hagbah. That's
the shaliach need to know that it's her bag or not?
I'm not sure.
So if I just come in with the get and I see a bag,
yeah, speaking of the bag, the Gemara's case is also tuli, but it's hanging on her.
Okay, but let's say it's not hanging on her.
Yeah, I don't think it should matter.
So can the shliach just put it in any bag and assume?
Again, according to the Gemara's text, it has to be off the ground. It has to be hanging. If not, again, if let's say the husband comes home and sees his wife's knapsack on the floor, and he puts the get into her knapsack. So that doesn't work. Unless it's attached to her body, or it would be on her body. If the get would be strapped on her, the knapsack. If it would be sitting on a pedestal, I don't know. Well, then, again, but then there was no Maisa Hagbah Mitzad Isha. Then it was a case it was Mugba Me'elov. Again, if it's high above 10 Tvachim, then like that was last week's Gemara. If it were to be above 10 Tvachim, maybe. But just above 3 Tvachim, I don't think that would work. That's I think, what would come out. That was the Gemara. Yeah, that was the Rajma's Kasha from last week. Yeah. Last week we had that Kasha. Yeah.
This was the same with Metalzalanim and Karka, with like making a Kenyan and something.
Yeah,
like
generally.
Movable or not.
Generally, yeah.
Because I remember in Bada Mitzia, there was something about like if the worker is working in your field and
right.
he finds like a diamond or something, since the owner would like have in mind to
right.
own anything.
That's working as chotzer, yeah.
So maybe over here, because once she gets divorced, she automatically gets the ksuva money. It's like not such a bad thing to automatically get the get, because when she gets the get, she also gets all the money of the ksuva. So
but how do we
even
get?
If she doesn't know about it. If you put the get in her rishus, like it would be, it is a benefit for her.
You're right, that's the idea of Zochum Adam. The problem is the Gemara assumes most women don't want to get divorced, even though the ksuba money is a lot, and it's got a problem. A lot of Misadri Kedushin today, they don't tell the chassan how much the ksuba is worth. And I think it's a real problem, because you're being mishabed yourself to a lot of money. Depends where you go, like Chazanish and others. It could be a lot of money. You know, the chassan don't know that, you know, they're sitting at the chassanish enjoying this. This is great. Someone should tell the guy, by the way, thousands and thousands of dollars. Thousands. High thousands. A lot of money. Ksuba's a lot of money. And the fact that they don't tell the boys is, I think, is not correct. They haven't signed the documents and they signed a legal document. Can you imagine, would you ever sign a legal document that you just mishabed yourself thousands and thousands of dollars? The answer is, we always say to ourselves, oh, it's never going to happen, right? We're never going to use the Ksuba. I was once at a chasana with the Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel, and about the Messias Ksuba. He says, you see this? You'll never have to use it again. Halavai, I hope so. They should never need to use the ksuba. Halavai, but never. Sometimes we do need to use the ksuba, and it's a lot of money—thousands and thousands of dollars. It could be some as close to possibly $30,000. The yeshiva guy definitely doesn't know. He learned ksubas 20 times. He learned Gidon. He definitely doesn't know that much it costs. And they don't tell the guy. I don't think it's right. And he should tell the chassan. Listen, by the way, you should know. You just signed a lot of money away. Just let you know that in case it happens. You know. But the Gemara says that even though ksuba is a lot of money, the Gemara says the women don't want to get divorced. It's not worth it. Being single is not worth it. Even though today the women probably make more money than the men do, but the Gemara says, we don't want it. So her chatzah can't be kind of her unless she wants it, because it's not a schus for her. So we have to figure out how it becomes her possession. It needs to be her possession. So the question of the Gemara is, her bag is her possession.
Does everybody hold that if it's on her shoulder, it's above the three tefachim, that automatically that's considered hagbah? Does anybody hold that she's...
So the problem is, and that's what I want to get to, if you look at number 7, that Reb Steinman in his Sefer Yolos HaShachar, he asks, Stamuze, he says, I don't understand. Rabbi Nugershim, Kasav, Dehavi, Hagbah, Vetzarachin, Katan. The hagbah, Lerashi, Tzarach, Gimel, Tefachim. Hagbah needs a certain amount of being lifted off the ground. You need 3 tefachim for Rashi. Taisus, you need 1 tefach. The kan hamashma demein negveres al gabe kaker kvar kotsa. Our Gemara sounds like, as long as it's not dragging on the ground, so above the ground you're good to go. Why is that? Above the ground doesn't automatically make hagbah. Again, we all assume that we think about bags, hangers, we think about knapsacks. So knapsacks on the back of us, they're way off the ground, no problem. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says it's tuliyabah. Rashi and Rashbam all learn it's not on the ground. Now there's a lot between not being on the ground and being on your back. So Reb Steinman, and the truth is, Taisus and Ksubas really asks this kasha. Taisus and Ksubas that discusses it being Hagbah, Taisus says, but there's a shear for Hagbah. It has to be a certain amount off the ground. Now you'll tell me, you're making a kimta in the Gemara, that it's tluya more than 3 tvach. Okay, maybe. But the Gemara should have spoken.
But also, doesn't it, we said early on, doesn't it mean that I actually have to do the lifting it from somewhere lower to that height?
Could be.
Not that it's all just suspended from that height,
right?
And it's dropped.
That's another kasha. They title that in a Taisus and Kedushin, whether or not you have to make a Maisa Hagbah, or the fact that it's Nigba, it's lifted up automatically, even though I never
did anything.
Right? The husband puts the get on in the back of my knapsack while it's on my body.
Right,
so it's Mugba from the ground, but I didn't exactly. That's a discussion in Kenyan Hagbah. Now, there are Achrayim, the Chelkas Yoyev, and others, who learn the Rashbam totally different. They don't learn the Rashbam that the Rashbam actually means it's Kinyan Hagbah. He means, like the Rashbam says, it's Doimel Kinyan Hagbah. Which means the point of the Rashbam is he's saying that just like by Kinyan Hagbah, no one has any kashas, ayat in the Rishos of the Meicher, and it works. Here also, Kalasa, don't ask me any kashas. How does her bag work? Her bag is Kalev Shalakech. The same way, when she picks up the actual object, it's not a problem. So too, when it's on her bag, it's on her body, or attached to her, that also circumvents the problem of Hagbah, of Rishos, Kalev Rishos Meicher. So the Dvar Yaakov in his Sefer, he writes, it would be a very big nafkamina lahalocha on how to learn the Rashbam. If the Rashbam meets Kinyan Hagbah, or the Rashbam meets Kinyan Yad, what's the nafkamina? Bal Karcha. If you put the get in an oifen of Hagbah against her will. So if the Rashbam means, like the Teres Gittin learns, that it's real Kinyan Hagbah doesn't work Bal Karcha. But if you learn the Rashbam that Hagbah is a fancy way of saying Kinyan Yad, it really just means that it's working off Kinyan Yad. And Hagbah is my raya, that I could do Kinyan Yad, even though it's in the Rishos of someone else. So that's Kinyan Yad. Kinyan Yad works Bal Korcha. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is if you learn the Rashbam means Hagbah Kipshutai, Hagbah is the Kinyan Derabbanan. This is something we talked a lot about in our sugyas. Kinyan Derabbanan working for Deraisa type of dinam. Hagbah is the Kinyan Deraisa, is the Kinyan Derabbanan. Yad, that's a kinyan deraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Not some other. So that's an afkamina. If you learn the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom, that's only a kinyan derabbanan. You got a big problem over here. The lady's only divorced from the derabbanan. You gave her a get in a way that it's hers derabbanan. So you tell me what we learned from Reb Kiveger. Kinyan derabbanan, mahani lo deraisas. Kinyan derabbanan work for
deraisas. Call him a kaddish dad derabbanan.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a kasha. I'm just speaking out. But or he quotes the Zeshitas on Nesivus. The Nesivus holds that according to Yochanan, Hagbah is takam deraisa. So if you hold Hagbah is Midaraisa, either you say Hagbah is Daraisa, or the other eight says you'll tell me that Hagbah is Takanat Daraisa, Hagbah is a Kinyan Derabbanan, but Kinyan Derabbanan work for Daraisas. Okay. We're going to have to jump around a little bit because we're short on time, and I want to just wrap up the sugya. If you learn to the last page, and my kids have a dentist appointment, but in any case, if you turn to the last page, number 13, there's a Taisus and Baba Basra. Taisin Baba Bas is going on the Gemara, where the Gemara answer is going to Hayabala Moiche Kalosis. The third answer of the Gemara was why it's not a problem to put the get into her bag, is because the husband sells bags anyways. He sells baskets, so the house is filled with baskets. So another basket doesn't bother the husband. So question, so what? How does that help? Very nice, you'll tell me he lends her the area. Good, so you're telling me he lends her the area. He doesn't mind the area. He doesn't mind the space that she's taking up because anyways it's full. So he basically gives her the area. She can borrow this area where the basket is and now becomes her rishos. In order for something to become yours, even in a shayel world, you need to make a ma'aseh kinyan chazaka on it. Here, kinyan chazaka assumes to be real kinyan chazaka. Whatever you need to buy any piece of land, she'd have to go close the door and open the door, and then she'd get the square foot for putting her basket down. So, very nice. Very nice. You told me that the husband is agreeing to the area, but that's not sufficient. He could be real you want, but she still needs to be kind. Now, what many Achranim point out is, we should have asked this kasha 2 weeks ago. This is not the first time we're being exposed to the idea where the husband is gifting her pardon. The whole last week's shir was saying that the husband lets her use it. The husband's not makbid, he lets her use it. So good, he lets her use it. So what? It's mavur that even if the husband lets her use it, that's not sufficient. So why, many Achranim ask this kasha, why does Tosfos and Babasa wait till the end of the Gemara to ask this kasha? This should have been asked 2 weeks ago when we learned the first Gemara where the Gemara answers that. Kari amita lekap di inshi. The husband doesn't mind. So what? It does, who cares? It doesn't mind. You still need the area that belonged to her halachically.
What do you mean? Didn't he give her permission? Isn't
that but give that place is his kasha. Giving permission is not sufficient.
No, but just
you have to have an actual ma'ase kinyan in it. A shoyl becomes a shoyl through kinyanim. This is all again a bigger bar mitzvah discussion. What's the difference between me letting you use something and me lending you something? If I lend you something, now you're chayiv and oinsim. If I say you can use my pen, and now the pen explodes, shoyl. Are you a shoyl or you're what's called a shtamshes berishos? I let you use my thing. What's the difference between a shoyl and a shtamshes berishos? So the simple answer is that a shoyl makes kinyan. You made a kinyan. I didn't just take your pen and use it. I was made a ma'aseh kinyan. How a shoyl makes the ma'aseh kinyan is we'll see in a second. Machlokes achronim. But there's something called ma'aseh kinyan. So frek tais is very nice. You give the permission, but that doesn't make it hers just because you let her do it. You need to make a ma'aseh kinyan.
She's using the area.
Ah, so that's the ktsois's answer. The ktsoi says, I don't have the kasha. So he says, what type of ishtamshes do you need to make you an owner? What normal owners do in their rishusim, which is using it. So I'm doing that. Taisvis is assuming that
but
you need
using it what to make a kinyan.
No, no, no. Taisvis is assuming that the kinyan you need to be kaina in a she'ela is not using it. It's the kinyan that you would to become an owner. Close the door, open the door, anything like that. Says the tzais, why is that? I want to borrow the floor to put a basket down. So I put a basket on the floor. That's called using what I'm borrowing the way a normal owner would use it. So the Ktzais, it's like the Ktzais in Marit about it. The Ktzais assumes that that's called Kinyan Chatzah. If I use it the normal way I want to use it, that's sufficient. Taisvis and his Kasha clearly didn't assume like that. Where? Right, that's how he answers up this Tosfos is kasha. He would say, you don't need a kinyan. You are automatically making a kinyan by putting a basket down.
Just my clothes around the right about spreading out your fruit on the land. It's the
same shayla over here. So the Achranim point out that this Tosfos, Rabbi Chanan and others say that this Tosfos is kasha. He's right, he didn't assume like the Ktzais. If Tosfos would assume like the Ktzais, then what's the kasha? The problem is, what's Tosfos' answer? So Tosfos, v'tiritz riva, the afagav dein hamokim kunuyala, that in a chanami, the area is not a purchase to her. But the kiven the yeshla rishus lahavi kalasa. But since she's allowed to bring it shom knuy loy kalasa, there it's kaina. The kalev shaladim kaina lebechal makim sheish rishus laniach. What's Taisus's answer? Taisus's answer is you need a ma'aseh kinyan. Taisus's answer is no, you don't need a ma'aseh kinyan. So the one way to learn Taisus's answer is that Taka he's saying like the Taisus, you Taka don't need the mere fact that you let me bring it and I act like a bailam, that's sufficient. But I think if you read the wording of Taisus, it doesn't sound like that. I think Taisus is denying the assumption. Taisus is basically assuming my assumption is incorrect. You don't need a ma'aseh kinyan to be a shoyl. You just need it to be that you have permission to be there. Once you have permission, even if you have no halachic kinyanim, that would suffice to be enough of an irim and melo. That's why Caleb works in such a case. Okay, I think that's enough for Caleb.